Begin the current daf Masechtas Menachos daf Pei Vav. Begin on the bottom of Pei Hei Mabez, where the Gemara continues explaining the halacha of our previous Mishnah, which was discussing the theme of this parak called Korbanos HaTzibur, regarding where do we get the Menachos, whether that of an individual or that of a Tzibur. So too it spoke about the different elements relating to the Mincha, which is also that of the oil as our Mishnah describes. So it's talking about where is the most ideal place to get the oil from, what type is valid, and the Mishnah quoted that Eimavien Loimeh Beis Hazvalim, there are certain places you cannot bring the oil from, not from a fertilized field, etc., which one of those were that Eimavien Amfakten, which the Gemara is going to shortly explain what that is. Now, there's actually the girsa that we have is, but if one brings it, it's going to be valid. But it says that that's not a valid one. On that, as the Gemara, but time learned the Brisa as follows. The Brisa is, like our Mishnah, Eimavien Amfakten, we don't bring this type of oil for the Mincha, as a tin type of Peivav Meralf. From heavy puzzle, if one brings it, it's invalid. And the reason for that is Mneshu Sarif, because it's just sap. It's just some type of excretion that comes out of the olives. So the way Rashi explains the question is, so how could we have said in the Mishnah that it's one of those invalid oils, but it's being called oil? Here we see in the Brisa, it's not even called the oil, it's Sarif. So it shouldn't be in the Mishnah when it's describing the invalid oils. Now, Tesis brings from Rabbeinu Tam, like the text that we have in the Mishnah is that it says Vimhevi Kosher, which is a bigger question. Here the Brisa is saying Vimhevi Pasla, if one brings it, is going to be valid. And our Mishnah described that it's going to be Kosher, meaning that although ideally it's not the best, but after the fact, it's definitely oil, which is valid for oil that you need for the Mincha. And then the Brisa see that it's Pasla, it's invalid, as the Brisa says, which accentuates the question like Rashi is describing, because it's not even oil, it's just sap. So Rav Yosef says, like Kosher, it's not a difficulty because it's a Machlekes. Ha, Reb Chia, the Brisa is like Reb Chia. Ha, Reb Shimon Berebi, our Mishnah is like Reb Shimon Berebi. The reason for this is, because you're right, the Samfakten is some type of a excretion that comes out of the olive, but the Reb Chia Zarekle, Reb Chia would throw away this Amfakinen, because he didn't consider it as oil, as significant of the liquid that comes out of an olive to consider it oil. And therefore it's some type of a sap, and therefore that's not going to be considered Shemin at all, and therefore it's puzzle. For Shimon Berebi, Metabalbe, no, he would dip into it. And he treated it like oil, he considered significant. So therefore, maybe even though it's not ideal, but it's going to be kosher. And the Simonech, and the Manik to recall who said which opinion, is Ashirim, the wealthy ones, who that's Reb Shimon, because he was the son of Rebbe, who was Reb Yehuda HaNasi, he was the prince, he was a wealthy individual. Mikamtsin, they're the ones who are stingy. And he went, and he didn't throw it out. Pchia, who wasn't so wealthy, threw it out, and he didn't. He actually considered it as oil, and they ate it. Therefore, that's the reason for their differences, because the machleik is regarding the samfankinen, if we consider it as oil, or do we consider it as sap. Now, by way of explanation of what this samfankinen actually is, the Gemara brings a pasuk in Megillas Esther. The pasuk says, Shishach adashim meshemen hamer, that they treated the women, before they came to Achashverosh, 6 months in the oil of the mar. Says, my shemen hamer, what is mer oil? So Rav Huna Bar Chiya Amar, he says it's setachta, it's balsam oil. Rav Yirmi Bar Abba Amar says it's shemen zayish lehebishlish. It's the olives, it's the oil of olives that didn't mature yet a third. Now, Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, which the Girsa in the parentheses has namahachi, but it's relating to this idea about the oil that's not a third matured. Rav Yehuda Amar, he says, what's the shemen hamar? It's the amfakinan, this that we mentioned in our Mishnah, which that shemen zayish lehebishlish. It's the oil of olives that didn't mature yet a third. That's like we said, this is the machlekes. Is it oil? Is it just some type of sap? Because it's not really fully ripened olives to say that it's necessarily shemen zayis. Now, on that, says the Gemara Lama Sachanaisai. So, why did the girls, the women, by Achashverosh, anoint themselves with the shemen hamar? Again, according to that interpretation, that it's the shemen zayis shlehebi shlish, which we're calling this amfakinan, is because shemesher esaseh, because it removes the hair, ma'adnes abasar, and it glows, it makes a glowing of the flesh, it gives a good complexion. Therefore, they use this amfakin, again, according to that interpretation, that it means the shemezayish lehebi shlish, which again, there was this machlekes regarding, do we consider this oil or just a sap? Now the Mishnah said, so to imavim min agargarin shenishu b'mayim, we don't bring from the olives which were soaked in water, and etc. Talks about other types of olives which are possible to use that oil for the menachos. So, Tanabang Linda Braisa, continuing on this theme of our Mishnah, Shemen Zayis, the oil of olives that were kovish, that were pickled, where they pickled the olives in vinegar and in salt, or shalok, or if it's boiled, or shor, if it's soaked, or shal shmarim, or that which the oil comes out of the sediments, just like by wine, that they take from the sediments of wine and they of the grapes and they make wine out of it, so too, if they made the oil out of the sediments, or v'shal reich ra, if it has a bad odor, lo yavi, one should not bring that for the shemen, but maybe possible one brings it, it's going to be invalid. Now, Bay Rabbi says, hikdishui, let's say someone sanctifies this type of these type of invalid oils for the Beis HaMikdash. What's the halacha? Does he get lashes for sanctifying a blemished carbon? Kivin the apostle, do you say since it's invalid sukkah b'mumdam, it's like a blemished animal, which there's five lashes for donating, for being makdash b'mum. Maybe no ein b'mum ele b'behema, as we said this in the previous stuff, maybe the halacha of a b'mum is only by an animal and not by olives. Take a letter stand, it's not clear if the person would get lashes for being makdish, such invalid olives. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah regarding the types of oils that were used in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Mishnah says, Shleisha Zesim Hain. There are three types of olives. In other words, three times a year they would pick the olives because olives don't ripen at the same time. So there would be three different seasons when they would harvest the olives. Ubehen shleisha shleisha shmanim, and each time that they would harvest it, there was three types of grades of oil, as the Mishnah explains. Hazai sarishin, in other words, the first time that they would be malaka, that they would gather the olives, they would do as follows: megarge bereish hazai. So first of all, they would go and gather those ripe olives that are on the top of the olive tree, which those had ripened first. And the reason why the top is the first one is because the sun is beating down and ripening those which are on the top of the olive tree. So he would take those olives, v'kaiseh, she would pound them, v'nisn l'techasal, and we put into a basket where from there would filter and go out, and there was a vessel underneath the basket that the oil would drip into. Yudaim, he says, no, you wouldn't put it into the basket, but rather svivos, around the walls of hasal, of the basket, he would put inside, then the oil would drip down through the walls, and then fall down through the porous bottom of that basket, and then it would filter out to the vessel that's beneath it, because then it gets really refined oil. Because all the refuse and the pieces, they get stuck on the wall. But he holds it, you don't put on just like the Tanakama on the bottom of the basket, because then it's gonna mix the oil with the sediments and it's gonna go out and it's gonna be murky oil. So because of that, he says you put it around the inner wall of the basket. Says the Mishnah, Zeh, this oil that drips out from the basket without any weighing of any external item on the olives themselves, that's what's called the oil that's the Rishon. That's the first one of this first time. But then, still from this first harvest, after they did that first phase, so then Chazav Atoyin Bekaira. So whatever came out was grade A. Then they went and they weighted down with a beam whatever olives were left in the basket that didn't drip through. Rabbi Yehuda, I mean, he disagrees here too. He says, no, ba'avanim. He says they would weigh it down with stones and not with beams, because beams are very heavy and it's going to push out some of the sediments too. Zesheni, this was the second grade. Then, chazavetach, and then they went and they grinded in the mill whatever olives that were left from beneath that beam. And v'tan, then they would go ahead and now after it was grinded down, again weigh the beam down on it. Zeshlishi, that was the grade 3 of the first time. And says the Mishnah, Harishain Lemanaira. Those from the first thing, the grade A, the ones that were just pounded and then put into the basket and dripped by itself, that was used for the lighting of the menorah, which has to be Shemen Zayasach, has to be pure olive oil. Vashar, the remaining two grades, were valid Lemanaches for the flour offerings, because there it doesn't say Zach, it doesn't have to be pure. Continues the Mishnah. That was all for the first harvesting. Hasheni, when they go ahead and they gather the second time, whatever is now still left that was ripened now on the tree, what they would do now is megarger bereish hagag. They would go ahead and collect and harvest those olives which are near the top of the roofs of their homes, which are not the top of the tree, but a little bit lower, because their olive trees were near their roofs, and that's where the second growth, the second harvesting, where it would be ripened. And v'kaisesh v'nisim l'teichasal, again, they would pound it, put it into the basket. Yehudaima, as he disagreed before, he said, no, svivas asal, you put around the inner wall of the basket. Zerishin, that was phase one of the second harvesting. Then toin bekaira, and again, whatever was left from that, that didn't drip out by itself, they would weigh it down with a beam. Again, Rabbi Yehudaima ba'avanim, he says, no, with stones. Zesheni, that was phase two. Chazav etach ebetah, and then they would go back and they would grind it and then weigh it down again with a beam. Zeshlishi, that was the third grade. Again, as we said before, here also, in the second harvesting, harishon, that which comes out first, when it was weighed down, that was going to be valid l'menorah. V'ashah l'menachas, the remaining two ones are valid for the flour offerings. Shlishi, now continues the Mishnah, this that it was harvested the third time, which that really never ever really ripens, which those are the branches which are actually beneath with the height of the roofs of the homes near the olive trees, where the sun never really gets to it. So here what they would do is oitenu beveis habad. The term oitenu is from the term of matan, which is the vat where they would gather the olives into it. So they would go in and put it, stuff it into the vat that was in the olive press. Achiyilka, until it spoils, where you just have all the olives squashed together. Umaleyu, umanak v'bereshagai. Then they would bring it up onto the top of the roof. Now the reason, since all these olives were stuffed together in one vessel for 4 or 5 days, so it drips out of it a type of a unsavory sap. So therefore you have to first put it on the roof till that dries up. And then, then they would pound it and put it into the basket. Rabbi Hudaima, again, as he said before, Sviva Sasano, around the inner wall of the basket. Zerishin, that would be whatever drip out, that's the first one, that is the first phase. Toin Bukhari, then whatever was left that did not, from the oil drip out, would be weighed down with the beam. Heroes, Rabbi Hudaima Bavon, says no, it's stones. Zesheni, that's the second phase. Chayza Betach Betan, then we go back and grind it and weigh it down. Zeshlishi. And as we said before, here also, Arishon Lemenorah, even from this third harvesting, which never really fully ripened on its own, and they put into the vat to give it some of that quality, the first one could be used for the Menorah, Bashar Lemenochas, and the rest for the flour offerings. Now, Yiboylu had the following question regarding the Girsa of our Mishnah. Is it Megargeri Tanan? We said that, from the first thing, what you do is, there would be Megargeri Bereisha Zayis. Is the Girsa that there would be Megargeri, that meaning they would collect one little olive here, one little olive there, because the tree didn't fully ripen yet. This is the first of the first. Or is the girsa that the word gilgal would be like waiting, that they would actually leave it on the top of the olive tree until they was fully ripened? Is that what it means to say that they could get the first ones? It says the more tashmal is being arrived, the time like learning the brisa, where it says if someone says I'm taking upon myself shemen zayis to go ahead and bring the olive oil to the Beis HaMikdash, which that requires that the oil should be fully ripened and that the oil should be in the olive itself, because that's expounding the pasuk shemen zayis zach, which means to say that it should be fully ripened, that it should come out from it even without weighing down. That's mizeisai, that's from the olive itself. So Mikan Omer, from here's where they said that the oil has to mean literally drip out of the oil itself. It has to be shemen that's in the zayis. So Mekan Amr says, the Braisa, that Zayas region, the first olives, Megalgalei Bereisha Zayas. See, the Girsa is that you let it ripen on the top of the olive tree, and then, once it fully ripens, then you pick it, and Bekoins Lebeis Abad, but it doesn't really mean that you actually put it into the olive press itself, because we're waiting actually until the first oil comes out by itself in the basket. But V'teichen Berechaim, you grind it in the mill, says this Tana. And then, and you put it into the basket, whatever oil comes out of it, any other procedures, but again, the Tana adds on the grinding part. That was the first oil that would come out. Then, Tarn Bekaira, here was where they added the element of weighing it down with the beam. There, Shem Leitzim, the oil that comes out from it, that was the second grade. And then, the Chazo Park, then they go ahead and take it out from the olive press. And they would grind it in the mill, and then weigh it down again in the olive press. That was the third phase. The first one was valid for the menorah, and the others for the menachas. And this was also done by the second time they would harvest the olive tree. And the same thing would also be by the third time, which again, like we said, doesn't fully ripen on the tree because it's beneath the height of where the roof of the homes are, so therefore the sun never reaches over there. Here, what they would do is a tenu beveis habad shiyilka. They would put into the vat of the olive press until it would spoil. Umalo eshagag would bring it up to the top of the roof. Va'isaisa came in tomorrow, and then they would actually make it there on the roof like a date, meaning to say the pile would be wide on the bottom and narrow on the top. Achi zuva mimav, until this, like we said, this sap that comes out of it, which is unsavory, which because they were pressing against each other in the vat, until that drips off, so it dries up. And then they would go ahead and gather it into the olive press. And they would grind it in the mill. And then they would go ahead and put it into the basket. And then the oil that would come out of it by itself, Zeha Yerushan. That was the first one. Toin Bekari, then, whatever was left, it would weigh down in the beam. Shemel Yitzimen, with the oil that would come out of it, Zeha Yishen. That was the second grade. And Park, Chazar, Betach, and Metah, and then would take it out, go back and grind it again, and then weigh it down, Zeha Yishlishi. That was the third grade. And as we always say, Harishan Lamanoi, the first one was for the Menoi, Rav Ashal Menaches, and the rest for the Menaches. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, actually, as the opinion of our mission is, not like this Tana was saying throughout the Brisa, says, Lohoyi Toichin Abirichayim. They wouldn't grind it in the mill, because that would take out the sediments and it would make it murky, this oil, because it would have it inside of it. Ella, rather, he said, what they would do is they would pound it with a mortar. They wouldn't weigh it down with the beam. That was the other machlokes he had in the Mishnah. Only with stones. And moreover, he didn't put it into baskets just as is. Rather, around the inner wall of the basket. Now, what seemingly was clear is that Rabbi Yehuda was going with the two opinions he mentioned in the Mishnah, which is A, with stones, and we're going with the first time, the first oils that which used for the menorah. And moreover, it's not just put into the basket, it's put around the inner wall of the basket, again, in contrast with the Tanna Kamma, who is saying that you actually, for the first time, even grind it. But that asks the Gemara as follows, Haguv Akash, we have a difficulty over here. Because Kaisish, this that the Tanna Kamma of our Mishnah said, that for the first oil even, you pound it, so Mani, who is that? Rabbi Yehuda. It's Rabbi Yehuda, who he says the same thing in the Braisa, where he says that all you do is you pound it in the mortar, you don't grind it. The problem is, Toich HaSal, this is the Tanna Kamma of our Mishnah says, that you just put it into the basket, you don't put it around the inner wall of the basket, that's Asan L'Rabban, that's like the Rabbanan. Who's the Tanna of our Mishnah? We have a Braisa, it's Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanna Kamma of our Mishnah seems to be in one element like the Rabbanan, and one like Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara, yes, Hai Tanna, the Tanna Kamma of our Mishnah, Savalo Kavasei Bechado, holds like Rabbi Yehuda in one halacha regarding that you just pound it, you don't grind it. But he disagrees with him in another halacha that you don't, he holds that the Tanna Kamma of Mishnah is you just put into the basket. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you have to put around the inner wall of the basket. But again, one thing that we find from this Brisa, where we brought it, is that the gears, like we've seen the Brisa, is not like actually the word of our Mishnah, which is Megargarai, which is you pick the olives from the top of the tree, but rather Megalglo, you wait till it ripens, and then you go ahead and pick those olives. Now, the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah, is regarding the appropriate oils that are used in the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Mishnah, Harishin Shebarishin. The first of the first, like we said, there's three different harvests, and each time you have three different types. You have one that happens basically by itself, next one which you weigh it down with a beam, and the third one, which is according to everyone, you grind and then you weigh it down again. Those are the three grades. And we said the first one is for the Benayra, from each of the three harvests, and the second two are for Menachas. But says the Mishnah, so Harishin Shebarishin, the first one of the first one. I mean, when the first one, when you go and you take Mereish HaZayas, and the first time, that's Ein Lamalaman, there's nothing higher than that. Now, Hasheni Shebarishin, the second phase of the first harvest, the Harishin Shebarishin, and the first phase of the second harvest, so Shavin, they're the same. As Zigmund's going to explain what exactly does that mean, but they're both one removed from the ideal. One's the second of the first, and one's the first of the second. So too, Hashlisha Shebarishin, the third phase of the first harvest, Vashena Shebesheni, and the second phase of the second harvest, Vaharishin Shebeshlishin, the first phase of the third harvest, so Shavim, they're the same. They all remove a certain amount, whether we're talking about in harvest, or whether we're talking about in phases. Hashlisha Shebesheni, the third phase of the second harvest, Vashena Shebeshlishin, or the second phase of the third harvest, Shavim, they're also the same, those are the same amount of distance. The third phase of the third harvest, in Lamataman, there's nothing lower than that. It's the last thing of all the harvesting we're doing of the olive trees. Now, continues the Mishnah, Af Kala Menaches. Now, the truth is, also regarding all the flower offerings, Hayibedin, the law, the logic would dictate, Shiyitutun Shemen Zayazaf, that it's required pure olive oil, which we said is only when you get on the first phase of the harvest. Because Mama Noi Rishain Lachila, if lighting of the candelabra in the Beis HaMikdash, which was not for consumption purposes, to Neshem Zayazach needed pure olive oil. So Menach Rishain Lachila, so the flower offerings which are eaten by the Mizbeach, which they put the Kemitz on the Mizbeach, in the Din Shiyitu Neshem Zayazach, isn't it logical that you should have pure? Because when someone eats, you definitely is more important to have fine olive oil more than just lighting. Tamalayim, that's what the Pasuk teaches. Zach, it says, pure, Kasas Lamar, crushed for lighting. Vein zach, kasas lamanachas. You don't need pure crushed for the flower offerings. That you can even have the second and third phases, even though it's not totally pure. Now the Gemara asked on the halacha of a Mishnah, Shavin? Is it really the same when you have, let's say, the second of the first or the first of the second? But you said, Rishon leMenorah, only the first phase of any one of the harvests is valid for the menorah. Vashar leMenachas, and the rest can be used for Menachas. So how can the Mishnah say that this Sheni Shebe Rishon, the Rishon Shebe Sheni is the same, but it's not true? The Rishon Shebe Sheni is kosher for the Mincha, but the Sheni Shebe Rishon is not. So Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, he says, you're right, my Shavan, what does it mean in the Mishnah that they're equal? Is Shavan leMenachas, that they're equal for the flower offerings, which we were discussing, the Mishnah is the oil for them. Because, as we know elsewhere, it says in the Pasuk, Mifcha Nidarecha, you have to bring from the best what you have, most choicest quality for your karbanos. And that's what the Mishnah is saying, that the Rishon Shebe Sheni and the Sheni Shebe Rishon are the same. Where if a person has a flower offering to bring and he has both of these types of oils, he could bring from whatever which one he wants to. But that's what it's saying. But if, let's say, he has the Shlish Shebe Rishon and the Rishon Shebe Sheni, then this Mincha has to bring from the Rishon Shebe Sheni, which is more better than the Shlish Shebe Rishon, even though that's from the second harvest, but it's still closer in the sense of what it is from the third one. Of the his Rishon Shebe Sheni is closer than the Shlish Shebe Rishon. Now the Mishnah said, "Av kol menachas hoye b'din b'chulu." That truthfully, the halacha of being fine oil should be more so by the flower offerings than the lighting of the candelabra. But still, the Gzeir Sakasav says it's only lamar. Now, turn around and learn the Braisa. The pasuk says zach, ein zach elanaki. So says the Braisa, what does zach mean? It means pure. For example, like we said, that first phase which comes out without weighing it down at all with any beams in the basket, even if it was grinded in the mill, which according to Tana, the Braisa holds that it's grinded, but still it's still considered pure because it comes out by itself. Rabbi Hudaim, he says, what we learned from the word kasis, and this is specifically his opinion, in kasis elo kasish. He says, kasish means pounded, but not like the other Tana, which holds that grinded. He says, no, it means not to grind it in the mill. It just means pounded in the mortar. That's what we learn from the word kasis, and that's why he says you don't grind it on the first phase, which we're talking about, which is necessary for the menorah, as this pasuk is talking about. Now, says the Braisa, so yachol yehizach, kasis, pasul menachas, you would think that the fine pounded oil would actually be invalid for the flowerings, because it says only lamar, only for the lighting of the candle. Tamalem, as the pasuk teaches, v'sarin seilis bol b'shem and kasis. It says, no. It says it is valid if it's kasis. It says a tenth of an epha of flour that's mixed with oil that's pounded. So it is valid for the menachas. So in Kane, so if that's the case, it's all, even valid for menachas. So what is the pasuk teaching when it's saying that it's specifically for the lighting of the candelabra? Ella rather says the Bryce is coming to tell you that for the ma'ar, for the lighting of the menorah, it has to be pounded. But for menachas, it doesn't have to be only pounded. Rather, even if it was grinded, like we see in the third phase, that's going to be kosher. And the reason is because of the concern for the financial of the Jewish people. Because flour offerings are common every single day. And there would be a great loss if they would have to go specifically and get that first phase type of oil, which has to be only pounded. But the neiris of the menorah doesn't require so much oil. It's just 3.5 log in every single day, a half a log for each ner. And therefore, there we require the higher standard. As the Gemara says, "My chisachen." What exactly? Why is the Torah so concerned for the loss of the Jewish money? So Rabbi Lazar says, "Hatera chasal mavayin shalisol." The Torah is concerned for the money of the Jewish people, as we find the Torah's kainim says regarding the negoyim that come on people's houses. It says in the pasuk, "Oh, you know the kain's about to declare it as a tuma of a nega." So the pasuk says, "Ufinu es abayis b'terem yev kain." You have to go clear out the house before the kain comes and declares a tuma. So that says the Torah's kind of the Braisa, what exactly is the Torah concerned for? If it's regarding the wooden or the metal vessels, what's the problem if it comes to Tami? You could just purify it in the mikvah. The only thing that obviously that does not have purification in the mikvah that the Torah is so concerned about is the earthenware vessels, which is cheap things. And still the Torah says, go ahead and clear it out. This should not become Tami because there's not going to be any way of rectification. It could not be immersed in the mikvah. So you see that the Torah is concerned for the Jewish people's money, and therefore for Menachas, they let them go, the Torah, and get the lower grade, and not to have the more expensive, higher grade that they left just for the Menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, continuing on this Pasuk, the Gemara brings that Tzavetz B'nei Yisrael, it says, command the Jewish people, V'yikhoi lecha shemen zayizach. This pasuk it talks about for the menorah, it says that they should take for you pure olive oil. Now, Amr Shmuel Ben Nachmani expounds on this pasuk. It says, a lecha, for you, which is that for your own desire, that to see how dear you are in front of me. But says Hashem, B'loi li, lighting of to light up my Beis HaMikdash is not for me, because loy lo'ira anitzarach, I don't need any light, because if I needed, I would have commanded that the shulchan, the table that's in the Beis HaMikdash should be near the menorah, as it normally is. When a person's eating, he has his light right there. But, as the Gemara brings, Shulchan Mitzafen U'menorah B'darim, the table's in the north of the Heichel, and the menorah is further away in the south. And actually, the Mizbeach is actually in between. So Hashem showing, obviously, I'm not doing it because I need light, quote-unquote, for my table when I'm eating. So Amr B'Zreka, Amr B'Lazi says, because Loi L'Achila Anitzach, I don't need it for eating. V'Loi L'Ayra Anitzach, I don't need it for light. Rather, it's for you, for the Jewish people. As the Gemara illustrates with a Pasuk Melachim Aleph, that says that B'Yas L'Abayis HaShlem Melech made for the Beis HaMikdash, Chaloynei Shekufim Atumim. He made windows that were wide, narrow. What does that mean? Tanulin Abayisa, Shekufim, that they were wide, and the Girsa is actually Mibachutz, on the outside. The Atumim and the Girsa is Mibifinim, they were narrow on, as Rashi's Girsa is, on the inside. Which is because generally, it's usually the windows and walls and stone walls are actually usually the exact opposite. When they make a window, they actually widen the space on the inside part of the wall so that it should angle, that the width should go on the side so that it shouldn't block the light of the sun that's coming from the outside inside the home. But by the Heichel, it was actually the exact opposite. It was actually narrow on the inside and widened actually when it went to the outside, so that the light that's in the Heichel should go out and light up the world. Because again, Hashem is saying, Loi lo era anitzach, I don't need the light. If anything, I need the light from here that I have to go ahead and light up the world. Similarly, the Pasuk says in the Yikra, and this is Perek Chavdal Pasuk Gimel, that says that, Mechutz leparechas ha'edus, out of the curtain of the testimony, Ba'il Moed in the tent of the assembly, it says that Aaron would prepare the candles and light it over there in the Heichel. Why is it called the Edus? Because Edesu, the menorah is a testimony, as the Gemara Shoten is going to explain exactly what's the testimony. L'chol ba'olam, to all those who come in the world, Shashchin Asher B'Yisrael, that the Divine Presence rests among the Jewish people. And if you think that Hashem is saying that I need the light, but all the 40 years that the Jewish people went in the desert, they only went by the light of Hashem. Ela Edesu, rather, so what's the point of the candles? Not for Hashem's light. Rather, it's a testimony to all those who come into the world that the Divine Presence rests among the Jewish people. As the Gemara explains, so what's the testimony? So Amar Ravi says, Zin Ner Mar Ravi. This refers to the western candle, which actually means the middle candle, because that was the candle that was facing towards the west. Actually, all the other candles would face towards that middle candle, the Ner Mar Ravi, as the Gemara says in Perek Shtei Alechem. And that's why it's called the Ner Mar Ravi, because that was the one that faced towards the west. That it had the same amount of oil as all the other candles, which was a half a leg, like the Pasuk says, Me'er Vad Baker. What does it mean that you had to light the candles from evening till morning? It means to put a measurement of oil that it would light from evening until morning, which the Chacham estimated is a half a leg of oil, as the Gemara says later on in Perek Shtei Midos. And yet, although it had the same amount of oil as all the other candles, U'memena Hayam Madlik, the lighting ceremony would start from that middle candle in the evening. And in the morning when they would be cleaning out the candles, that was the candle that they would finish off with. Because when they would come in the morning, they would find that one was still lit, even though the other ones had already been extinguished. Now actually, sometimes it would actually light the whole entire day. And what it means to say is that they would actually start the candle lighting ceremony from it, because in the morning they came, all the other ones were extinguished, except for the Ner Maravi. And they would go ahead and clean them out from all the ashes that was inside. Like it says, Babuika, Petivas, and there was in the morning when they would clean out the candles. But the Ner Maravi would light all day, and in the evening, they would actually start to light in the candles from it. So that's what it says that Ubahay Messiah, meaning after the lighting of all the other candles, it was still lit, and they would then extinguish it, and then clean it out, and then pour it in the oil. That was the Eders, the testimony that the Divine Presence is among the Jewish people, the great miracle that there was with the Ner Maravi. But again, Hashem is saying, I don't need the light, it's not for me, it's Elecha, it's for you, the Shem and Zayzach, to show that how beloved you are by the Rebbeinu Shalom. Now, continuing the theme of the previous Mishnayos regarding A, he was talking about the choice flour that has to be used for the Mincha, the choice oil that has to be used for the Mincha and also for the Menorah. Now, the third thing that comes with the Karbanis is Me'ayin Hayu Mevin Es Hayayin. From where would they bring the wine which was used for the Nesachim, for the libations that come with the Karbanis? So says the Mishnah, Keduchim Va'atulim, which these are names of places. They're Alpha Layin, they're the Alpha, they're the highest grade for the wine. Shnilehen, the second grade, is Beis Rima, U'Beis Lavan Bahar, U'Kfar Signa Babika, and this Kfar Signa, which was in the valley. Now, says the Mishnah, Kala Ratzas HaYikasheres, all the lands of Eretz were kosher to bring the wine for the Nesachim. El Mekano Imavin, but from here is where they would bring it because this was the best. Now, Imavin, says the Mishnah, as we said, same ideas by the olives. Lema Beis HaZvalim, we wouldn't bring from fertilized fields. But Lema Beis HaShlachim, not from irrigated fields. Again, because if one doesn't put enough water, then it wouldn't, it's not such good quality wine. Lema Mashon Nizbenem, and neither from a vineyard that they would plant other seeds between them. They may be kosher, but if one would bring from these types of fields, it's valid. Imavin Helistoyon, we don't bring this very sweet wine, they got sweet because of the sun, where they would hang up the grapes opposite the sun and would bake on it and make it very sweet. If it may be kosher, but if it was brought from that, it's valid. Emavin Yashin, we don't bring old wine, meaning from last year. That's the Rebbe. That's Rebbe's opinion. But Chum say it is kosher, it's valid. Emavin, we don't bring Loy Matuk, not wine that became sweet by itself, in contrast to the other one, Helistium, which we said became sweet from the sun. Or it actually means Tirish, which has not yet fully become intoxicating wine. It's only 40 days since it was made, so it's still considered like grape juice, like sweet. So we don't bring the sweet wine. V'lema usha, not the smoky wine, which they smoke to also give it the quality, but it's not natural. V'lema voshal, not if it was cooked. The may be possible if one brings from these types of wines, it's invalid. So to continue the mission of Emevin min hadoloyes. We don't bring from the grapevines which are hanging on the vines. Elemen hadraglias, only from those which are laying on the ground near the feet of people which are not hanging. Those are the ones that have the quality that we want. Umen akram avudin, and only from the vineyards which have been worked, which have been dug on, that brings out the nurturing from the ground. Only those types of vineyards are going to be valid. And v'loy kainten oisei b'chatzavim gedolim. We can't gather the wine into large barrels because that makes a deficiency in the taste of the wine. Ela b'chavis ketan is only in small barrels. Moreover, ve'inim ma'ales achavis ad pi, you don't fill up the barrel up until the mouth, the tip, the lid of the barrel. And the reason for that is k'dei shehei reich ha'noidiv, because we want the aroma to waft. Because if you fill it up all the way, so then actually the aroma is going to go out and it's not going to stay inside the barrel itself. So you have to leave a little space for the aroma to be there inside the barrel. Moreover, we don't bring wine from the mouth of the tip, the top of the barrel. The reason for that is, as we continue on top of Pesayim and Alf, hakamachin, because of the white part and the moldy part in the wine floats to the top. Now, v'loy mishalav, neither do we bring from the bottom of the barrel because of the sediments. Elamevi mishalisha, rather we bring from the third of the barrel, which is where they actually would make the spigot in the side of the barrel, mimtsar from the middle. Continues the Mishnah, Ketzer to Abaydik. How would this wine be checked to make sure that it's from the finer quality part of the wine and not from that which, let's say, has the sediment or the moldy part on the top? So the Mishnah says, Hagizba Yeshiv, so the treasurer who is in charge of the merchandise being brought into the Beis HaMikdash, he would sit. Vakon, and the reed, which was the measuring stick he would use, Biyodi was in his hand. Now, Zarek Hagir, when the frothy part would start shooting out, because they have the spigot and it's coming out, and that part where the sediments from the bottom was coming out of the wine, so hikish, so the treasurer would bang bekano with his reed to that which is coming out of the wine to allude as a sign that the one in charge should go ahead and put the spigot and close it. Now, he wouldn't speak, and the reason for that is, as we will explain in the Gemara, because speech is actually harmful for wine. So he didn't want to say anything, so he would make a sign with hitting a stick on the barrel to show that it should be closed. He says, actually, if the wine has this moldy part on it, it's invalid. It says the pasuk in Bamidbar. He says, it should be whole for you and for your flour offerings, which that excludes flour which became wormy or has this dust inside of it, the flour dust. And in this game, it says it should be whole for you and for your libations, which that tells us that if there's kamachim, if there's this moldy part inside of it, so then it's like a balmum, it's like a blemish, and therefore the whole thing is puzzle because of the blemish that's in, like in the carbon, so too in the flour and in the wine libations, they have the same halacha that the words in the pasuk are going on the minchasam and on the neskeim, they have the same halacha as being considered as a balmum.